Shalom Mishpacha. Shalom, family. Mishpacha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpacha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile, it's finally come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpacha, to blow the grandest shofar, the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest, Faisal Malik, I'm interviewing him this week because he has a brand new book about 10 amazing Muslims touched by God. It is one of the most fascinating books you will ever read. You will learn about when someone is coming from a background that it's life-threatening if they believe in Jesus, and then once they have their encounter with Jesus, they move in the same supernatural that you read about in the Bible, in some cases maybe even greater. And most of these Muslims are coming to the Lord through dreams and visions. It's as if there's a moment of mercy on planet Earth, and woe is me if we don't reach out to the Muslim that God himself has had cross our path. I want you to read the book, and then God is going to have a Muslim cross your path, and you're going to give this to them. Faisal Malik, we found out on yesterday's broadcast some of the people that are in the book. Your story is in the book. Then Camille, who was a member of a very militant group from age 7. He was taught how to use an AK-47, and his job was to kill Jews on the Golan Height and train young people to kill Jews. And they had a strategy for the West involving women. Tell me about that.
Part of his strategy was to commit, they call it cultural jihad. So he came to America and he wanted to infiltrate the culture. And part of that was women, because they were told that women are very easy in America, that you get to know them, you build a relationship with them, hopefully you can marry them, you can obtain United States citizenship, you can get to know their family members, and then through those families you could spread Islam as well. And this is part of what they teach and train people to do in America, to get an education, to meet women and marry them, and to then create the culture of Islam and bring it to America and influence the way of life in America, so that eventually one day they hope to make America either a Muslim nation or destroy it.
There's so many fascinating stories in this book. I mean, you won't be able to put it down. Tell me about Samil.
Samil was also a fundamentalist, but he was like a Shiite Muslim. And he was part of two fanatical Islamic groups, kind of like cults, and they also believed in kind of the supernatural. And so he was trying to write encyclopedias about Islam. He was translating books and trying to translate to get the message of Islam out. And he got frustrated because he spent his whole life trying to do this. Meanwhile, his wife had already seen a vision of Jesus but hadn't told him about it. And so one day, in the midst of his frustration, he just threw all his Islamic books on the floor. And he cries out to God, and he says, God, I want to know the truth. And in the midst of this, this powerful light came into the room, and the presence of God began to come into the room, and literally it shook him. He was so shaken by the presence of God. It was so powerful. He said it was like lightning, electricity coming in the room. And so God asked him, it was Jesus, and he said, what are you looking for, Samil? And Samil said, the truth. And then Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the minute he said that, his heart began to surrender, and he realized that Jesus is who he says he is. And then Jesus told Samil of the prayers that his wife had been praying. And she was in the other room hearing what was going on, and then she also came into the same vision, and they both saw Jesus at the same time. It's absolutely amazing how the mercy of God reached out to them, Sid. This is the kind of stuff we're hearing about, and these are the type of stories in the book.
And you know what's so amazing to me? Here is a man that is as radical as you can get, as big a terrorist as you can get. He didn't just dislike Jews and Christians. He wanted to either have them become believers in Islam or kill them. He had a furious hatred. I mean, equivalent to an Adolf Hitler. But what does he feel about Jews and Christians today?
He has a love for them. In fact, he He went to Bible school later on, and he had to move out of his city because the people tried to come and actually kill him for becoming a Christian. But he's alive today, and he was able to move out of his city. But he has a love for Christians, a love for Jewish people. I mean, Jesus is love. If you're going to know him, you're going to begin to love people. And I think his stories also challenge us as believers to love others, because that's what Jesus said, love your enemies. And that's what we're seeing from these people. As they encounter Jesus, they're beginning to love the people that they previously thought were their enemies.
But what another thing I see is they move in such extraordinary signs and wonders. I mean, I've been talking to some of these people on the telephone. They move in all the gifts of the Spirit. They move in miracles. For instance, I accidentally bumped into one of the guests in the book. His name is Corey from Turkey. Corey, as far as I'm concerned, the presence of God was, I mean, I was in a Starbucks coffee with him, and I was overpowered by the presence of God. Why is it these former Muslims are so filled with God's glory?
Well, you can't encounter Jesus and not experience the glory of God. That's one of the things about this, that when we truly experience him with the core of our heart, we're going to change. And that's what we're finding in these stories. Many times, many a nights, writing the stories, just like you said, sitting with Corey, I'd be writing or editing the story and writing the commentary. I'd be weeping in God's presence and glory all night long because of the weight of God's presence. Literally, these stories are imparted to us. The presence of these stories are imparted to us. And I think that's what's very important. Jesus said that the Bible says the testimony of Jesus is as the spirit of prophecy, meaning that when we hear what Jesus has done for them, it becomes prophecy for our future. We encounter that same presence. We encounter that same power. But it should. This is the normal way to do it. This is the normal way. If you encounter Jesus, you're going to encounter his presence, his miracles, his touch. This is what Christianity is always meant to be. And sometimes we've forgotten about that, and we've made it a form, or a system, rather than an encounter and a relationship with Jesus. That's what the early church had. That's what the apostles, the disciples had. They had been with Jesus, and that's what happens. When you're with Jesus, Jesus will shine through your life.
Yeah, Corey had said to me, I'm reminded now, this was several years ago, and I just accidentally bumped into him having a cup of coffee, and he said the fire of God came on him, and it was so strong that when I met with him, I could feel the fire of God being radiating all from him throughout that whole coffee house.
isn't that lovely, Sid? And that's what happened to him. God sent him back to Turkey. He was in America at the time, and he experienced this fire come on him and God's heart for the people of Turkey. He saw them drowning, and they would one day perish if he did not go preach to them. And he obeyed God, and he moved, and everywhere he goes, this fire falls, and miracles happen. Tumors get healed. He experiences the power of God reach out to these people, and it's absolutely amazing what Jesus is doing in Corey's life.
How about the testimony of, and I've gotten to know him, he's become a good friend, Akif Tayyam. Tell me about him.
You know, Akif, his story is fabulous, Sid, because he was hungry. One of the things about him, he was a sincere man that was hungry, but he was still a Muslim, and he was opposed to everything that Christians believe, and he was living in the United States, and a Christian girl told him, about miracles all the time, and she would keep hounding him that God does miracles, and Akif would try to argue with her, and one day, this evangelist was coming to town, and so she said, come with me, and you'll see miracles. So he said, I'll go there to prove you wrong, that this is all fake, it's not real, I'm going to show you that it's wrong. So he went to this evangelistic meeting, and this man got up, and he invited somebody over that had a withered limb, and he saw it with his own eyes. The man prayed for him in the name of Jesus, and this withered limb began to grow right before Akif's eyes. And right there, Akif fell to his knees and began to weep uncontrollably. It's like he saw this miracle, and something in him was so shaken, he was so touched, and in all honesty, he said he didn't even understand what happened to him. And so this, sent him on a search, seeking more of God, wanting to understand how this miracle took place. He knew it was Jesus, but he didn't understand why, because the way he was raised, that, Muslims don't experience miracles. But here's Jesus doing these miracles. Was it really Jesus? If so, how is that possible? So this is what was going on in his mind. And then he went on a search. He just drove out to Alabama. He found this field through a Baptist pastor that said, you can stay here for as long as you want, since you have all these questions. And for 40 days, he didn't eat anything. and he was thirsty, and he was crying out, trying to understand. He had a Bible with him, though. He kept reading it. And then he found himself out of his body, and he was taken up into the third heaven, and he saw Jesus. And Jesus spoke to him and told Akif, touch me. And the minute he touched him, he immediately received life, and he was back in his body. He came alive, and he just started dancing, and he ran back to that church. He got a ride on the way there, actually. And then he shared his story at that Baptist church. And right in that church, this fire began to burn in his hands. The hand that he touched Jesus with, that hand began to burn with fire. And he prayed for somebody that instantly got healed right there. And he still...
That wasn't just somebody. That was a deacon that was paralyzed in a wheelchair for 30 years. The fire was so strong in his hand that when he touched him, that man got up and started walking. Could you imagine if that happened in the average church that the people listening to us go to?
Oh, absolutely, Sid. And this is what is happening. These miracles are happening in the lives of these Muslims when Jesus touches them. And it's absolutely amazing. And it will soften our hearts.
What I believe is that when a Christian gets a hold of your brand new book, 10 Amazing Muslims Touched by God, that the first thing they should do is read it themselves, and their faith is going to be stretched to normal. And then the special 2 CDs we have called East Meets West, because you see, here in the West, we're taught seeing is believing. And in the East, even before you know Jesus, you're taught believing is seeing. You understand the invisible world. And so I believe that as they hear these revelations these former Muslims have received, that they're going to have that same glory on them that is going on these Muslims. Why? Because God is in a hurry. He's coming back soon. So I urge you, absolutely urge you, to get this book. It's not even the stores yet, just off the press, 10 Amazing Muslims Touched by God, and then the 2 CDs, East Meets West, available for a gift of $40. Faisal, I have to tell you, I have never read a book that has so charged me up for more fire and more reality of God as your new book. To hear this week's interview or watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 704-943-6500. That's 704-943-6500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation to Sid Roth, that's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278.